It's The Takeaway. I'm Shamita Basu. We're going to end the hour by hearing from comedian Tawny Newsom. Tawny is prolific within the comedy podcasting world, and recently she's been picking up increasingly high-profile acting jobs. The last project that Tawny filmed before lockdowns went into effect in the U.S. was an episode of Jordan Peele's The Twilight Zone.
It was so surreal to be filming an episode of The Twilight Zone amidst a blossoming global pandemic. I played a surgeon, so literally my last scene that I filmed was me scrubbing in for surgery. So it's just different angles of me washing my hands while I'm thinking about how I just have to get off this set full of 100 people and immediately wash my hands again.
It may be some time before Tawny is back on a film set, but this week you can find her starring alongside Steve Carell and John Malkovich in Netflix's Space Force. Loosely inspired by the real-life military branch formed under President Trump, Space Force was created by Greg Daniels, who's best known for making the American version of The Office. Tawny's character, Angela Ali, is a pilot who takes her role within the Space Force very seriously.
Hey, you two, get back here. Now. Yeah, you said something disrespectful to my guest, so you're gonna take a little run. East launch pad.
That's very far, ma'am.
And back.
That's almost twice as far, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am, right away. Running now.
And Tawny told me that while she was preparing for the show, she took her research seriously as well.
Angela makes it to officer. She ends up transferring in. Even though she was previously enlisted, she's an officer now. So she is ascending the ranks. And I really, like, I started scoping out and looking for Black women, especially, who are officers in different branches of the military. I started looking for pilots, Black women pilots from, you know, all over, just because I wanted to surround myself with images of that. I mean, that's kind of the definition of why representation matters, right? If you can see it, then you can imagine yourself doing it, both from a little girl thinking about a career standpoint. And also as an actor, me looking at all of these Marines and Army soldiers and other women gave me ideas about hairstyles. Like, one thing that was really important to me and to our military advisor and everyone on set was that, you know, I wore my hair appropriate for a person in uniform.
Sure.
I have really big curly hair that is everywhere, and it's hard to manage. And I was really weighing the challenges that a lot of enlisted women and service women face when they're trying to figure out, okay, how do we stick within the military ranks? Do we smooth it down? Do we straighten it? And, you know, just over a year ago, the armed services approved braids and locks as approved styles. So I was like, oh, this would be a genius way to honor a lot of those women who probably were waiting to get to wear their hair in braids for years and years. So that's just a small way that, yeah, we were trying to honor the reality of these exact people.
Now, you also co-host a podcast called Yo, Is This Racist? With Andrew T. It sort of sounds like it's a racism helpline. People call in and leave you a voicemail and ask, is this racist? Or how should I feel about this? What's it been like to transition into doing this podcast from home?
I love doing things from home. I mean, I'm a lifelong musician too, so I always have a little studio set up, so that part hasn't been hard. I do want to make sure people know that we're not a real helpline. Like, we are primarily comedians.
Sure.
And we love to have, like, a third perspective of another comedian or writer or person in entertainment, usually who's a person of color, but not always. And we just have free-flowing discussions about the things people call in for. So sometimes people call in with really serious stuff that we're like, I don't know if I'm the one qualified for you to talk to.
I like when you end up asking each other, did we help this person? Was this the right answer?
We often did not. Sometimes I'm just like, you need a newspaper. I don't know. I don't know what to do for you.
I want to talk a little bit more about your comedy career. And I know that you were at Second City when you lived in Chicago. You've also performed with your band, John Langford's Four Lost Souls, at music venues. How are you feeling about the future of live comedy and live music right now?
I mean, I'm legitimately worried. I'm hopeful, but I'm nervous. You know, I spent a lot of years making my primary living as a live performing comedian and musician. I would trade, you know, I'd go for a month on tour with a band, then I'd come back and do 6 weeks of a scripted sit down comedy show in Rochester, New York, or something with the Second City. So it was what got me out of waiting tables, which is something that a lot of people can't say, that live performing became their bread and butter. That is, it's hard to do, and it was hard to maintain even then. I don't know how independent venues are going to stay open. I've been trying to support venues that I've had good memories at, just, you know, like looking to see if they have a GoFundMe page, or buying merchandise from them if they're selling t-shirts or something. Mm-hmm. But I'm legitimately scared, and I'm kind of scared of the, you know, the corporatization that's going to take over of some of these small venues. Because if you're an indie rock club in Arlington and you suddenly can't open back up, who's gonna buy that space, and what type of bands are they gonna book, and what type of content are they gonna put up? I think the preservation of the indie music and comedy spaces is one of the most important things that we have for allowing new art to flourish.
And in terms of acting, how do you feel about the idea of returning to a film set after all this and picking up where some of your productions have had to pause?
I feel very lucky to be in the job that I'm in, because even if people wanted to go back to work prematurely, even if certain productions wanted to, I am encouraged by the fact that this is, you know, this industry is billions and billions of dollars, and there are so many people that it takes to make a film set. And I keep joking that being an actor on a film set is just 12 hours of someone touching your face. So there is, I have to have faith.
That sounds very unideal right now.
Right now, it's just like different strangers coming up, putting a microphone on your collarbone, someone adjusting your eyebrow. It's a COVID nightmare. So I am emboldened by the fact that these very, very expensive productions are not going to rush back in, because, you know, if someone gets sick, it's a very visible industry. It's a very litigious world we're in. It would seem wild to me that any production would go back prematurely. And I don't think they'll do it purely, if not for the people's sake, definitely because there's too much money on the line.
You know, I try not to read people's quotes back to them from past interviews, but I'm going to make an exception this time, because
what
maybe it'll be a nice point
do?
Of reflection. No. So here's what it is. In 2017, you gave an interview to Vulture, and you expressed some frustration at the time with the roles that you'd been getting. And you'd said, it can be hard to find a place right now, so I think I just need to create that place myself. Do you feel like you're at a point in your career now where you've been able to carve out your own space?
Yeah. You know, what's interesting is that, like, this role in Space Force was one of those perfect marriages of collaboration. There was a great pilot script. The script was so lovely that I cornily told the casting director, Allison Jones, after my first audition. I was just like, I just love this script. Even if I don't get cast, I just want you to know. And she was like, cool story. That's great. But I do feel like this is the start of that for me, because Greg Daniels is such a great collaborator, and his door is so open to ideas about the character, that between me and him and the writers and Steve, like, we have created this character together, and I feel like an active participant in shaping her. This whole last season, I felt like I was asked for my input and trusted when I disagreed about things, and it was a really good way to create it. So if that's, you know, halfway to making my own stuff, I feel like the next piece of it is right around the corner.
Tawny Newsome is a comedian and one of the stars of Netflix's Space Force, which is coming out later this week. Thank you so much, Tawny.
Thank you. This was great.
We've been checking in with a bunch of different comedians on The Takeaway, including Samantha Bee and Roy Wood Jr., since the coronavirus outbreak started. You can find all of those conversations online at thetakeaway.org/jokingfromadistance.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Jeffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at the New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.